Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
An Iowa poet whose work celebrates the often harsh yet beautiful Midwest is coming to Marion County. Let's go in depth with Demita Brothers, author of Cold Songs from Boone. Well, Demita, you write about the Midwest. Why?
I write about the Midwest because I think it's a neglected area in literature, particularly the northern Midwest, the cold climates. It's where I grew up. Was born and raised in Wisconsin and have spent time in Michigan and Minnesota and the last 8 years in Iowa. And I would like to produce literature which reflects these environments and the sensibilities of the people that live in them.
What are the recurring themes in your work?
Well, one of the recurring themes in this book, of course, it's called Cold Songs, it's a literature of the environment. What kind of people are produced in an environment which is alternately harsh and beautiful? And I think that it produces particularly pragmatic and at the same time sensitive people. And I wanted to be able to reflect that.
And so the environment helps create us that cold environment?
I think so. You know, I grew up someplace where it got cold enough that if you went outside for 10 minutes without gloves, you could lose fingers. And so I think that makes for kind of really practical people on the surface. But also, if you spend time in Wisconsin and Iowa, the kind of beautiful landscape that you're surrounded by, the rural landscape, also makes you, I think, filled with kind of a wonder and enchantment for the natural world and makes you feel really connected to that natural world. Whether you are a logger in Wisconsin or a farmer in Iowa, I think that you have a bond with your environment and that shows in the type of people that we have.
And why do you write?
I write because I think that the point of all literature, and I think particularly poetry, which is the genre I work in, is that it's a way to connect with your fellow human being. And, you know, poetry, good poetry, should evoke a response in somebody. It should evoke an emotional or an intellectual response. And so, for me, it's all about that kind of connection with my fellow person and that kind of feeling that you get when they say, oh, yes, I know that feeling. I can see that place. I've had that experience there as well.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with poet Demita Brothers, author of Cold Songs. What inspires you to write?
What inspires me to write, I think, is kind of what inspires all writers to write, is that I have a kind of itch to reproduce the world around me and to look at it through a different perspective. And to make other people kind of feel and respond to that world from that perspective. So for me, a lot of times that happens when I am in a kind of beautiful landscape. It sometimes happens when I meet a really kind of interesting person. I have a layman's interest in science, and I love to read about things like, you know, how root systems propagate and how, you know, astronomical bodies move through the sky. And I'm very kind of fascinated about the kind of complexity of our natural world. And that, I think, makes me feel the need to create and evoke the emotions surrounding those kinds of really amazing aspects of our environment.
Well, you drove from Boone today to meet me in Pleasantville. And I'm wondering if anything triggered your imagination that you saw along the way, anything that inspired you to maybe at least think of writing about it.
Well, one of the things that struck me when I first came to Iowa, and still strikes me today whenever I'm on a drive, is when I go by a field and I see a strip of the earth exposed and the incredible blackness of the dirt in Iowa. And I've always been very kind of fascinated with that. Of course, it's, you know, the basis of a large section of our economy here with farming. But it's one of those, for me, one of those kinds of metaphors of, you know, the fertility that's just always kind of under wraps in Iowa. And like right now, the fields are largely brown and cut off and dead. But, you know, with that strip of black exposed earth, you can see and you know that the fecundity is still there, and it's lying in wait, and it's always kind of constantly renewing and reemerging. And the rivers make me feel like that too when I spend time like in the Des Moines River Valley. Every time I drive over the river, I check, is it high? Is it low? What does that mean for our landscape? And how does that change how things look here? So I'm always kind of on the lookout for those unexpectedly beautiful things. And sometimes it's the thing you think, like a really beautiful natural landform, but sometimes it's the thing you don't think about, like a strip of exposed field, that can kind of inspire you to think more deeply about the place and the purpose.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with poet Demita Brothers, author of Cold Songs. You also write about domestic life. Do you have a poem that you would like to share with us?
In this book, I have a whole section that's basically based upon people and scenes that I've known in real life. And this poem that I have right here is called Baking Bread, and it's kind of a farmhouse scene. Baking Bread. The young wife rises with the dawn of mid-September, while her husband's form lingers in the liminal space of dreams. She patters to the kitchen and retrieves the recently acquired cookbook. Her finger slides along the index. She remembers his exclamatory nostalgia of a soft-pillowed morning and the rousing, wavering aroma of bread that nudged him down boyhood stairs toward the practical embrace of a farmhouse woman. The encomiums to melting butter, her assemblage of ingredients is haphazard and betrays her awkward entrance to the novitiate. She worries overmuch about the word tepid in the recipe as she tips a spoonful of living yeast toward the cup of water and sends up a prayer that she's right. She ignores the curious word sift and transfers flour from can to counter. A well is formed in the midst of the wheat, and three well-beaten eggs form a pretty yellow sight in the circle of flour. The yeast is added to this slowly. She uses her hands to combine the life of last year's harvest, the living yeast, and the would-have-been living eggs as they morph into something new. The dough, sticky, is kneaded to a dusty ball. Her now-stained book intones, "Remove dough to grease bowl and cover with clean towel." This forgotten preparation is hurried through. The book commands the lump be sheltered in warmth until grown to twice its size. She waits in solemn silence in the still dark kitchen, peeking under the towel after two slow hours. The bubbling, living batter makes her wonder in deep muteness. She cuts the dough in half and presses each until they take the form of the waiting pans. The next part of an hour is spent in the divided silence of the kitchen, entranced as the loaves rise again. Next, she presides before the oven door as the simple lumps transform into the stuff of life under her small power. He enters in time to see her graceful body sing the song of offering and emerge with sun-colored, lopsided loaves. He asks, "And what did I do to deserve this great gift?" And she answered, not a thing.
Wow, that's really heartwarming and beautiful. And those of us that have been lucky enough to have been in a situation like that, that is very powerful for, I'm sure, many of our listeners.
Yeah, and I think that so many of us have memories, either from our childhood of, you know, something like waking to the smell of baking bread, or if you're like me, I know when I first got my own home and was trying to cook and trying to do things the way my mother had done them, and kind of feeling your way through domesticity, which I think was important to me in that poem, that she doesn't really know what she's doing, and the results are lopsided and not quite right, and yet they are a great offering up that she does towards, you know, kind of her small part in the world, which is to make it warmer and to offer sustenance.
Well, and in just a couple of lines at the end, you bring up lots of emotions, and in just a couple of lines, there's love.
Yeah, I mean, I refer to the loaves as they're an offering, you know, that they are a kind of sacrificial offering. And earlier on in the poem, you know, I call her a novitiate. You know, she's newly engaged. And there is something spiritual about creating a domestic world. And there is real, I think, kind of power in making that kind of comfort for other people. And that was something that I wanted to bring out, that there's great goodness in that, that that's important.
And you have to examine the world, because a lot of people would not examine that. That's just baking bread, or, you know, a lot of other domestic scenes, or, you know, being outside and observing nature. It's the poet's job to examine everything from the mundane to the wondrous.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And in fact, the mundane is often the wondrous once you stop and take a closer look at it and see how it works. Things that you get very used to in this world actually are very often miracles. You know, the fact that you have yeast, which is this tiny living organism dried out, and that you can, you know, bring it back to life, and that from that then you create something which sustains human life. And that's what poets do, I think, is to make you take a second look at things and to make you look more closely and kind of re-experience the wonder of those items or those processes.
Well, and you have an event coming up at the Knoxville Public Library. When is that?
That'll be on April 10th, and it starts at 1:30 and will run till about 3. And we hope to see, you know, many members of the public there, but we're also going to be talking to the writers group. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a chance to read some poems, which hopefully connect with the Iowa audience, and also maybe to talk a little bit about the process of writing and, you know, how to get started with that and what that might look like if somebody's has an interest, or maybe they're journaling and they'd like to take their writing a step forward. I think it'd be a good opportunity to talk a little bit about how that works and have a dialogue with people.
And your book, Cold Songs, is new from Ice Cube Press. And will there be copies available for people to purchase?
Yeah, I always come with copies available. There is a business side to this. Along with that, you can also get the book through Ice Cube Press's website. It's also available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and Target.com.
Do you have perhaps a short poem that we can conclude with?
Sure. I will read you the last poem in the volume, and I wrote this poem when I first came to Iowa. I live up in Boone, and I was very taken with the trains when I first came here. And this is particularly, I think, reminiscent or evocative of the sound of the trains, and it's called Fate. The call of the midnight train sounds out across the empty fields until deflected by the buffeting limbs of trees. It ricochets overhead, sweeping the wheel of the harmonious heavens, until the dislodged stars dribble into the narrow opening of the Black River beside us. We convene at a crossroads, as lovers do. Love is free will, because it compels choice. We choose not to hear the call. We care nothing for drowned stars.
Thanks to Demita Brothers for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.